Welcome to ET Markets Investor's Guide, a show about asset classes, market trends, and investment opportunities. This is Chiranjeevi Chakraborty. Indian equities this week sidestepped concerns around a potential debt crisis in China and the US Fed's suggestion that it would be tapering its asset buying program soon. The Sensex hit the 60,000 mark on Friday, while the Nifty 50 ended near the 18,000 level. Both the indices are up over 135% from their lows of March 2020 and are quoting valuations that have not been seen before on these shores. When markets enter such an uncharted territory, investors always face a dilemma of whether to go all in or back out a little. In order to answer this seemingly difficult question, we caught up with Mr. Anand Radhakrishnan, Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Equity India at Franklin Templeton.
Welcome, Anand sir. Thank you so much for joining our platform. It's wonderful to have you here.
Hi, Chiranjeevi. Nice to join you.
So I'll start off with, you know, the question that is on everybody's mind, given that now we had ended the week near record highs, almost on every benchmark index there is. But we are also seeing that a lot of global issues are now coming to the fore after, you know, what has been a very strong year-to-date rally for the market from investors' point of view. Does it make sense, you know, to take some profits off the table at this point of time? Would that be something that you are looking at?
Yeah, it is true that the global liquidity has found its way into various financial markets, including emerging market equity and Indian equities, and that has led to a reflation of asset prices. I think there are two components to this liquidity. One component is the liquidity which finds its way into actual use by the corporates. Right. The liquidity which helps the companies to deleverage, the liquidities which can help the company to raise risk capital and invest for the future. I think that part of the liquidity is going to probably play a reasonably positive role. But there is also a transient part of liquidity which will flow and ebb with the global sentiments. And I think that is definitely, I would say, at risk at some point in the near future. Already there are people are talking about withdrawing some bit of excess liquidity. Fed is talking about it. And some of the other governments are talking about it. Even Indian Monetary Policy Committee also is taking cognizance of managing liquidity better, as there is a cost to have this excess liquidity. So there is definitely a risk of this transient element of this excess liquidity being slowly going off, and that will have its effect on asset prices and financial markets. So one need to be therefore a bit circumspect and cautious about taking this liquidity for granted and hoping that asset prices will be permanently supported by this excess liquidity. And I think in that sense, a caution is well placed. In that sense, a little bit of circumspection is warranted in the markets.
Given, you know, what is happening with China and with the global growth outlook, as well as the prospects of, as you mentioned, central banks steadily withdrawing the liquidity support, how do you view the entire inflation trade that was such a dominant talking point not 12 months ago?
You know, as they say, the rising tide lifts all boats, even if it is a bit of a leaky boat or a boat with some fault lines, and they tend to appear to do well.
Right.
It kind of postpones some of these eventualities, the excess liquidity and the policy support. But fault lines have always existed in various parts of the world, including China and even in India for that matter. And therefore, it is only a question of time some of these fault lines kind of reappear. And what we are seeing on the Chinese real estate is one such fault line where there has been a large buildup of inventory, excessive borrowing by these companies, and leveraged bets on real estates, etc., which is now kind of playing out, especially with the regulator not being not taking to it kindly, we might actually see some of this tail risk manifest. By tail risk, what I mean is a probability of things going bankrupt and that having some kind of a contagion effect on allied, related, even unrelated areas. They will have some bit of a tailspin. And I think that kind of that risk is definitely on the table, and we need to be aware of it and be prepared for it.
Right. So, so of course, you know, coming to Franklin Templeton, I noticed that you have been adding a lot of financial services as well as banking names over the past few months. But when you come to the market, this is one space that had really not performed as probably not as well as the rest of the market has. Can you probably give us a little bit of insight into, you know, what is driving this you know, activity on the financial services and banking names on your side?
There are structural bullish reasons and there is a transient or temporary concerns. Both I can probably touch upon a little bit.
Right.
Structurally bullish reason is banking sector is getting consolidated. The big banks are gaining market share as a pack at the expense of smaller banks, both on the deposit market share as well as credit market share. The big banks are delivering better profitability at the expense of smaller banks. So you are actually seeing the banking space getting consolidated, which means it makes it, it's not only a growth on the underlying economy, it also has an additional growth on which comes out of consolidation of market share. That is point one. Point two is some of the bigger banks have kind of enabled themselves technologically, and they seem to be better prepared for fintech disruption, and probably some of them may cause that disruption as well and participate in it in a very positive manner. So there is an additional angle to it in terms of their ability to invest in technology and prepare themselves for the oncoming disruption. Right. And some of them are very well prepared and are already on the right path, and we have a lot of confidence that they will take up that challenge and probably even excel in it. And those are the, I would say, structural reason. And a couple of more reasons is they are coming out of a very bad NPA cycle. Last 5 years, they have made a lot of provisions. Big banks have had such kind of challenges. I think now that kind of a problem is no longer there. Incremental lendings have been prudent, and they are not lumpy or large in projects which can go bad. Those kind of lendings are not happening anymore, which is a good part on a structural basis. So we expect the NPA provision related drag on earnings, drag on book value or impairment of book value not happening in the next 3-4 years, which kind of points to the structural bullishness. The transient or temporary factors are which are impacting the banks or the financials is how is COVID impacted the credit behavior of borrowers, especially the retail borrowers? Is there stress? Would they repay their loans? Are there going to be heightened delinquencies on the retail part of the businesses, etc.? And some of this already showed up in numbers in the last few quarters, but we think it's a temporary issue. And once the opening up happens in a proper way, which is happening already, and businesses and get back to normalcy, especially the medium and small enterprises, and then micro borrowers, etc., we think that the current stress, which is a localized, temporal in nature, not structural in nature, will eventually go down, and then they will participate in growth, and probably some of them will get re-rated upwards. So in many ways, therefore, it looks like a safer trade in these markets, especially considering where the rest of the market is. To us, it looks like a reasonable place to be in.
My last question to you is, you know, about risk. And while there has been a lot of noise about, you know, about valuation risk, about inflation risk, and, you know, and of course, the taper, the liquidity taper. But do you suggest that probably the one risk that could really affect this market is any sort of disappointment on the earnings front going ahead? given that we are currently factoring in maybe blue sky scenarios of maybe 30 to 35 to 40% earnings growth for Nifty companies? Would you suggest that is the one big risk for markets?
It is one of the risks, definitely. As much as liquidity is a risk, earnings disappointment or negative surprises is always a risk. If you ask me, is the market systematically overestimating the earnings across sectors? I would say no. But is the market overestimating earnings in pockets? Possibly. And there is a reflexive behavior of market. It's sometimes stock prices follow the earnings. Sometimes the earnings estimate follow the stock prices.
Right.
So we are, if the second case is true, which is earnings estimate follow the stock prices, they also tend to go down when they kind of revise down when stock prices come down or vice versa.
Right.
So I think there is an element of overestimation in select sectors. In order to justify the extended valuation, people tend to overestimate that earnings. And I think that is probably liable for a negative surprise. But if you keep that issue aside and look at a broader situation, I don't think in a systematic way, everyone is overestimating earnings for all sectors. I think by and large, for most sectors, expectations are reasonably realistic. That's the reason, there's a reason earnings are not getting revised upwards on a daily basis, though the market is moving up on a daily basis or have been moving up on a daily basis. The earnings are not getting revised upwards. In some sense, in many sectors, earnings are grounded. But having said that, there is that risk definitely is there in select sectors. And we have to be very, very watchful about that. The second point is unlike 3 years back, where earnings used to come in very concentrated pockets, you know, which are consumption-oriented stocks and few stocks, etc. Today, earnings growth is expected in multiple sectors. Even commodities have been delivering earnings growth. Consumer stocks are delivering earnings growth. Healthcare and IT is delivering earnings growth. Telecom, which never had pricing power, never had profitability, at least the listed companies are showing good earnings traction, and of course banks and other financials. So I think the earnings is getting broad based. So to that extent, the source of disappointment is, I would say, lesser versus earlier, where you know a few companies disappoint, the entire earnings of the index or market will kind of soften significantly. Today, it seems like a little more balanced. If some sectors and companies are disappointing, some possibly are going to surprise as well.
Right.
But your point is valid. There are pockets of overestimation of earnings.
Thank you, Mr. Radhakrishnan, for a very intriguing conversation. That's all in this week's special podcast. Do keep checking this space for more interesting content and take time out to follow our market podcast twice every day. Stay safe and have a happy weekend.